The theme of what we're talking about here this morning is what do you see when you look at the world? And of course, all you can see is what you're projecting out into the world. That's the theme. I mean, I've given you the whole sermon right there in a few words. The fact of the matter is, it's what's within us. And the heaven that we experience, of course, is a projection of what comes out of us into our experience. It's interesting how a lot of things get misinterpreted, misunderstood, and a lot of what I talk about here on Sunday mornings or at any time in our classes has to do with the misrepresentations made of some of the truths. And kids have a tendency to see things sometimes in a distorted way. There was a nun who gave a little oral test asking for some responses from children about the Bible, and this was sent to me. I got it on the email just Saturday, I guess. Well, that was yesterday, wasn't it? And there are quite a number of things here. I'm only going to look at a couple. I thought it was kind of cute. I don't know what the questions are, but this is what the nun wrote down. One little kid says, "Lot's wife was a pillar of salt during the day, but a ball of fire during the night." Isn't that neat? And here's another one. The first commandment was when Eve told Adam to eat the apple. And we've been being told ever since. Anyway, the seventh commandment is thou shalt not admit adultery. Now that, enough problem as it is, but when it comes to us from on high. Now, here, just a couple of others here. St. Paul cavorted to Christianity. He preached holy acrimony, which is another name for marriage. Don't you love it? And the last one, Christians have only one spouse. This is called monotony. Well, I use this as an introduction to what I'm going to be talking about here today, the theme of which is, what do you see when you look at the world? And we see an awful lot according to how we articulate things. And we articulate things an awful lot in terms of what we have been told, and then we interpret it. There's a wonderful passage that comes out of the letter that Paul wrote to the Philippians, where he says this, that kind of summarizes for me basic, ethical, useful, moral behavior. In this particular letter that he wrote to these people, it comes to near the end of his discourse, and he says this, "Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there's any excellence, and if anything worthy of praise in this, let your mind dwell on these things." And, you know, I think about that, and it occurs to me that that is the basis for good, ethical human relationships and human behavior in almost any circumstance. These ideas of what is right, what is pure, what is lovely, what is, and so on down the line. And yet, we tend to live in a world sometimes that seems very dim. I mean, it's almost like a shadow world, and we get confused because of the opposites that we see in things, polar opposites. I mean, on the one hand, we have despair, and then hope, and then good, and bad, and challenge, and opportunity, and dark, and light, harmony, and chaos. And after a while, we begin to think of these things as being the nature of the totality of it. And actually, the totality or the infinite is neither of these polar opposites. It's just what it is, and it's how we perceive and how we interact with it that's going to determine what our experience in life is. This is a tough, tough thing to really get because we want to believe in opposites. We want to believe in the good and the bad. And that's why I think the devil is so popular. You know, I remember reading an account somewhere of a preacher that got up, and, or maybe I heard it on one of the television programs, And he said something like, and you know, there's 10 times more of the devil in the Bible than there is of God. And I thought, gee, what a hell of a thing to say. But a lot of people, they get hold of this and they really embrace that. And I think, however, we can look past all of the appearances of things and we can choose how we are going to look at the world. We can begin to create our own personal world. And some people I know looked at me and said, this is absolute bunk, Rick, Richard. Just prove it to me. I'm not going to prove it to you or anybody else. But I know you can prove it for yourself. You can prove it for yourself by taking some of these ideas as the basic premise, one of which is it'll be done unto you as you believe. And you know, as you think is usually expressed in your words, and the words are going to reflect your thoughts, and your thoughts are going to reflect your belief. And it's like it becomes one thing. Now, you've heard this so much that after a while you don't really hear it to the same degree. But I want to say once again, belief is shaped by your words, which are shaped by your thoughts, and that's what's going to be reflected in your life. That's the whole message of what I'm talking about here today, but I'm not going to stop there. I want to go on because I've got more time, see. I think the most important key to how you see your world is in how you see yourself. If you see yourself as having a strong self-concept, as a person who is here to make a contribution, as a person who has a purpose that is noble and worthy, and is one who can experience the joys of pure living. If you can see yourself that way, little by little you begin to see that reflected in your life. But if you see yourself as limited, if you see yourself as not being here with any useful purpose underlying your whole existence, then you tend to live a life out of that, and it's an empty life, or certainly it is a limited life. I read a book, I've read several books by this woman, several things by this woman named Susan Jeffers. Some of you may have heard of Susan Jeffers. And she's pretty well known now. She's a psychologist. She's a woman who, she started out in a traditional way and she got married and she had some children and everybody thought, well, this is the perfect life for you. She's wonderful. And she decided that it wasn't enough. I mean, her life with the children and family was fine, but there was something else moving in her. And so she started back to school. And she got a BA and she got an MS and then she got a PhD in psychology and went on and on and on with her work and finally published her first book that was rejected. The book's name was, and it's the first one of hers that I read, Face Your Fear and Do It Anyway. And I, or words to that effect. And I loved it. I had the opportunity to meet her a number of years ago. It was back in January 1991. It was on my daughter's birthday, February 13th. And that's how I happen to remember that. We had a big seminar that our church was hosting in Albuquerque, and we had Deepak Chopra and Wayne Dyer and Susan Jeffers and I can't even remember the doctor, well-known doctor. And I was the master of ceremonies, and I got to introduce and meet all of these people. She made a comment that I like very much in an article that she wrote, and she also talked a little bit about it, about how your words, the words that you speak, whether you believe them or not, are going to impact your life. And if your words are oriented towards something positive and useful, it will strengthen you. If they are negative words, it will weaken you. And I'm going to stick my neck out right now to do an experiment that she did and see if we can demonstrate that right here. I need a man and some... who do I pick? Terry? Have I asked you about this yet? I mean, other than right now, you come up here. Come. And we need a microphone. Can we turn on this microphone here? And Michelle, you come up here. Now, Terry, I want you to stand up here in front of the microphone. And Michelle, I'm going to move over here. You come here and you stand. You can stand right there. That's good. You know each other.
We do now.
You do now. That's great. Okay, and I want you to stand in front of this microphone, and this is what we're going to do. We're going to do a kinesiological kind of thing, you know, muscle testing, and you're going to hold your arm out, and she's going to push down on the arm. Not yet. And now, this is not... You can put your arm down. Now, okay, you can relax. And this is not a contest of strength. We're just wanting to demonstrate something. I think we're going to do this here. I want you to speak into the microphone and say 10 times with your eyes closed, I am a weak and unworthy person. No, not yet. Don't do anything yet. Just get up to the microphone a little closer. That's it.
I don't want to.
Well, I don't blame you. And see, it doesn't matter whether you believe it or not, but just play the game. I am a weak and unworthy person 10 times.
I am a weak and unworthy person 10 times.
That might be enough, but go ahead and do it anyway.
I am a weak and unworthy person. 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 I am weak and unworthy person. I am weak and unworthy person.
Okay, now hold your arm out. You can open your eyes. Now you just put your hand on top of his and say it one more time.
I am weak and an unworthy person.
And push down. Okay, good. Now close your eyes and say, I am a strong, worthy person 10 times.
I am a strong, worthy person. 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 I am a strong, worthy person.
Now hold your hand out, open your eyes, and say it one more time.
I am a strong, worthy person.
And push. Did you notice a difference? Mm-hmm. Okay, yes. You could tell the difference. This is not put up.
Yes, it is.
Thank
yes,
you
it is.
Very much. All Thank right. you very much. I've seen demonstrations like this a number of times, and I know that many of you have, and sometimes after a while, because you've seen it, it's old stuff, and but it's incredible. And everywhere in our life, we are influencing ourselves by the words that come out of our mouths. We can make ourselves strong. We can make ourselves weak. We can control the way we see our world. If we see it as a faulted world, we are going to experience a faulted world. And if we see it as a strong, wonderful, giving world within which there are many opportunities and possibilities, that's what we tend to find for us. And this is what will transform the world. We can choose how we can look at the world, and we can look how we look at our own personal world. And oftentimes we come along and we undermine ourselves in various ways. We do some of the darndest things, you know. We come along and we behave in ways that we want to get sympathy, which is essentially saying, I'm so weak that you've got to come along and sympathize. Get into my stuff with me and support me there. I mean, I don't want a show of hands, but I'll bet you, ask yourself, have I ever done that? And I know I have. We do other kinds of things. We undermine our relationships rather than standing up and being mature about them. I remember a number of years ago, I was a young man just out of the Navy, and I had a girlfriend. And we did very well. I was going to college. I just got started in college, and we were going together for a while, and we got along okay. And then all of a sudden, it started to turn not very nice, and it wasn't a healthy relationship, and I knew I had to get out of this. I didn't have time for this sort of thing. It was total distraction. And so what did I do? Did I do the mature thing and go to her and say, Now look, her name was Marvel. Isn't that a great name? I said, look, Marvel. And she was a Marvel. This is not working. And I really find that I can't give it what I need to give. And it's time that we end this relationship and we can be friends. You know how that goes, the friends bit. That happens to a lot of us. But you can at least say that, you know, and sincerely mean it. But I didn't do that. No, I acted like a little kid. I created a situation that caused conflict so that we would have a big fight, and then we could justify breaking it off, and I could make her wrong. What kind of a world am I creating for myself when I'm not in integrity enough where I can stand up and look at this other person as another expression of the infinite, knowing that I'm one with this person, that we are children of God together. And we may not belong together in this kind of a relationship, but we all occupy the same field of love. It's that field of love within which we will live, move, and have our being. But no, I'm going to set it up because I was just too insecure myself. And so what did I do? I created an atmosphere within which I could only express weakness. Then a lot of times what we will do in very much the same way is we will sabotage our successes. Have you ever felt that you have been urged and pushed to go into some particular kind of an activity or a job or a profession or whatever, and you really didn't want to do it, but you did it because of the other forces around you? I mean, sometimes we have experienced this, some people very dramatically so. Let me give you an example of my daughter, my youngest daughter, Gina. She's a grown woman now and has four kids of her own that are grown and on their own. But she was a teenager in high school. Gina was a real phenomenon. She was very good looking, very pretty, beautiful, and still is. And she was smart, she was creative, she was athletic, she was charming, she was all of the, I mean, she took after her father. What do you expect? And she was working at a job for a law office and part-time after school. And the contest, the Miss Teenage New Mexico contest, was coming up in a few months, and she was approached by her company to be a candidate in this contest, Miss Teenage New Mexico. And she didn't want to do it. So I've just got too much to do. She had too much on her plate. She didn't want to do it. But they kept on her. So she said, finally, okay, I will do it. 3 days before, and she was also a gymnast. And yeah, you know, somewhat. She was pretty good. And so she worked up a gymnastics act that she was going to be doing as her talent. And 3 days before, she got sick. Nobody could figure out what was wrong with her, but she just got sick and she was weak. And there was no way in the world she was going to be able to do her gymnastics task. So the last day, instead of the gymnastic procedure, she developed a speech. And she gave this speech looking beautiful, did a great job, and she became one of the runners up. But she didn't have the burden of winning the thing. Whether she would have or not, I don't know. So what did she do? And she recognizes what happened there. That's the interesting thing. A deliberate sabotaging of what could have been a successful endeavor, but it wouldn't have been a success to her because it wasn't something she wanted to do to begin with. But every time we do that sort of a thing, we're creating some kind of a behavior, an inner behavior that says, I can back out of it. I can do something different. Or we may hesitate moving ahead full scale toward in the direction of accomplishing something that we've always wanted to do without having several backups, something to fall back on. Folks, we can look ahead into life as an arena within which there are infinite possibilities. There is an infinitude of substance, of resources, of possibilities for every one of us if we can open ourselves to let them flow into our experience. And we begin that process by speaking to them. You see, we can, and it's so much relies on our self-esteem. And we can speak ourselves into an awareness of the truth of who we are. And how can you not think well of yourself when you do that? Now, there are a lot of people that just plain complain about the world. And they feel powerless over the world. They are at the effect of everything that's going on in the world, and they don't feel like they have any choice, but you can choose. You can choose the role that you want to experience. Now, I'm not saying you can all of a sudden decide you want to go out and become an Olympian runner and run the 100-yard dash, you know, at world level. That's not what I'm saying. But I'm saying that there are talents, there are things within us, there are gifts within every one of us that's part of our own divine destiny, if you will, or design. And we cover them up. We hold back on them rather than allowing them to express. We can change the world by changing the way we see ourselves, by changing ourselves, that is, by changing our own personal viewpoint of the world. And this is an inner kind of a transformation that goes on. But that inner transformation is what we project out there into everything around us. The way you see the world is the way that you're going to experience the world. And that's the message for today. You see, as a spiritual being, and each of us is a spiritual being, we experience according to our state of consciousness. So what is it that you see in yourself? What is it you see that you're usually doing? What is your attitude about things? What is your state of consciousness? How do you relate to people? How do you relate to circumstances? How do you look on life? How do you feel about yourself? How do you feel about others? How do you think about things? How do you perform about these things? And your answer to any one of these questions, if it's not satisfactory to you, then maybe you need an attitude adjustment. You have the ability, folks, to experience, just like the little example, through your speaking of yourselves, and I'm emphasizing the speaking an awful lot today, but your speaking is a reflection often of your thinking, and your thinking is a reflection of your belief. And you say, yeah, but you've got to change the belief first. What this woman, Susan Jeffers, is saying, start with what you're doing, begin to look at that, and change the way you're speaking about it, and it may work its way all the way back to the gut level of what you believe. So you can transform things. It's that we talk about affirmations so much. I am one with the power and presence of God. I surrender to the power and presence of God within me. What a powerful affirmation. And I open myself to experience all the good that there is. And then there's the little genie on your shoulder that whispers in your ear, yes. It means belief system. And sometimes we pay attention to it and you say, oh, well, that's all stuff. And we negate that immediately. Stay with it. Stay with it. You see, the real you is a bright, shiny, pure, clear, creative, intelligent, successful, and prosperous you. That's what you really are. And the more conscious you are of this, which you will become as you speak more of it, the more easily you're going to attract in your life the circumstances, the resources, the people, the energy, everything that you need in order to be able to express the truth of who you are. The way that we approach this in this teaching, and in virtually every teaching that I know of, every valid enlightenment teaching, is to go back and go within and learn about the spiritual practices that can help you to open yourself to speaking the truth which will allow that inner transformation to take place. That's prayer, that's meditation, the reshaping of your thoughts. Let's have a little quiet now, shall we? Come to center, relax into this moment. So just relax into it and take a breath. Take a nice deep breath. And as you let it out, allow yourself to relax. Feel the tones that come out of the piano totally permeate the whole of this space. There is only one basic thing, and we call it God, we call it the infinite, we call it the omnipresent, omnipotent, omniscient, infinite. And it is out of that that everything has been made. It is the one life, the one presence. That life and that presence is the life of each one of us here. It is my life. So as I speak these words, I will speak them in the first person. Take them as your words of affirmation for yourself. I know that there is enough of everything and more in order for me to be able to fulfill myself according to my own design. I have all that I need to do all that needs to be done. And right now, I allow myself to be aligned. With the natural harmonies, balance, and simplicity of the universe. I know that I have all the time, all the substance, and all the wherewithal to do what needs to be done. For my fulfillment, for the joyous, exuberant, and loving life that I know is mine. I accept this is so right now. I rejoice that it is so. I let it be so. And together we declare, and so it is.